All right, so today we're diving deep, and I mean deep, into biblical genre. Ever get that feeling like you're cruising through a passage and then wham, everything changes, like suddenly you're reading poetry instead of history?
You're spot on. And that's what we're tackling today, how understanding genre is like finding a secret decoder ring for the Bible.
Okay, I like that. So it's like you wouldn't read a recipe book expecting a mystery novel, right? Different types of writing, different rules of the game.
Exactly. Genre is like a hidden code, and once you crack it, the meaning just explodes. For this deep dive, we're using some awesome notes from Dr. David Bauer's inductive Bible study course. He's all about really observing the text.
Right. He talks about different levels of observation, kind of like zooming in and out on a map. But for today, we're hanging out at the survey of parts and wholes level, looking at the chunks of text inside each book.
Exactly. We're going beyond just the book's overall message and seeing how it's built, how each piece fits together. And like you said, genre is a huge part of that.
So it's like spotting those patterns, figuring out why the author chose a specific style, right? I'm already seeing how this is way more than just slapping a label like poetry or history on something.
Absolutely. There are layers to this. You might have a broad genre like prose narrative, but then within that, you've got more specific types, like, say, healing stories. It's like a whole family tree of writing styles.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's dig into some of the major biblical genres. Dr. Bauer mentions discursive writing. Sounds kind of fancy, huh?
Well, think of it as logical arguments like we see in the New Testament epistles, like James, for example. It's all about laying out a clear argument, point by point.
And here's the thing with that kind of writing. We usually assume it's meant literally, right? Unless there's a neon sign flashing symbolic or something.
Exactly. We shouldn't go hunting for hidden meanings when the author's just being straight up. Respect the author's intention, right? Now, another biggie is prose narrative stories and historical accounts.
Like that wild story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. It's presented as an actual event. So, yeah, literal interpretation, chronological order, that's our go-to. But hold on, there are those exceptions.
Of course.
Flashbacks, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Those can really throw you for a loop if you're not paying attention.
Oh, yeah. Makes you stop and think, wait, why did the author do that? What's the point? They're totally nudging us to dig a little deeper, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got arguments, stories. Now, what about poetry? Old Testament's got a ton of that.
Yes, and one thing to remember is Hebrew poetry isn't about rhyming like English poetry often is. It's about rhythm, meter, and especially those parallels.
Yeah, those repetitions and contrasts that pack so much punch. Like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's like that second line echoes the first, but in a way that emphasizes God's care, you know?
Exactly. That's what we call synonymous parallelism. Then there's antitheticals, where the second line contrasts, like Proverbs 15.1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See how it just highlights those two opposite ways of communicating?
Whoa, great example. Understanding these different types of parallelism can totally change how you read a passage. So poetry, it's definitely more than just pretty words. It's a code to crack.
Absolutely. And speaking of codes, let's tackle those head scratchers. Parables. These stories, they've been causing debates for ages.
I know, right? Everyone's got a theory on how to interpret them. It's like a riddle that everyone thinks they have the answer to. But is there like a right way to approach them?
Well, historically, there have been a couple of main camps. You have the allegorical approach where every single detail is a symbol. Then there's the single point approach, laser focused on the main takeaway. But more recently, scholars have offered a bit more nuanced view.
So it's not just black and white, all symbolic or nothing symbolic.
Right. It's about understanding that parables do have a central point, but those details aren't just random. They often add layers of meaning to that main point.
I see why paying attention to genre is so important. Miss the genre. Miss the whole point. Speaking of possibly missing the point, what about apocalyptic literature? That stuff can be pretty wild, confusing.
It can. That's because it thrives on coded language. Those vivid images, glimpses into the unseen world.
Yeah, it's not like reading a news report. We're not supposed to take it all literally, are we? It's symbolic, like trying to understand a dream.
Exactly. Think about Revelation chapters 4 through 22. It comes from a time when people felt powerless, trying to understand God's hidden work in the world. Symbolism and figurative language were their tools.
So trying to read it as like a play-by-play of future events is totally missing the mark. That's a mistake I've probably made before.
Happens all the time. Understanding the genre helps us see apocalyptic literature isn't meant to be a literal timeline. It's a symbolic vision of God's ultimate victory.
Wow. Okay. This is really eye-opening. I'm seeing how ignoring genre can lead to all sorts of misinterpretations.
It's like trying to solve a riddle by looking for a literal answer. You got to engage with the genre, understand its rules to unlock the real meaning.
Okay, I'm hooked. So what other biblical genres are out there? Dr. Bauer mentions dramatic prose. What's that all about?
Think prose with a theatrical flair, vivid descriptions, personification. It's all about creating that powerful impact on the reader.
So it's not just telling a story. It's using the story to convey deeper truths, like a play where the setting and characters represent something bigger.
You got it. Like Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones vision. It's not about a literal valley, but a symbolic representation of Israel's spiritual revival.
Ah, that makes sense. Or how about Proverbs 7 and 8? Where wisdom and folly are personified as women. It's not about an actual brothel. It's a powerful metaphor for life choices.
Exactly. Dramatic prose invites us to look beyond the surface, to grasp that deeper symbolic meaning.
This whole genre thing, it's like unlocking a secret code in the Bible. I'm already rethinking how I read certain passages. It's like you've given me a new lens.
That's the power of understanding genre. It's not about limiting our interpretation, but enriching it, giving us the right tools.
So how can we get better at recognizing and applying all these genres? What resources would you suggest?
Dr. Bauer really recommends Bible dictionaries. They've got in-depth explanations of different genres and how they work in the Bible.
That's helpful, like a guidebook for those different literary landscapes. Any specific dictionaries you'd recommend?
He mentioned a few. The Anchor Bible Dictionary is considered one of the best, although it is a multi-volume set.
Okay, maybe not a light read then. Any others?
He also mentioned the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, or ISBE. Just make sure you get the Bromley edition, not the older Orr one.
Got it. ISBE, Bromley edition. Any more?
One more worth checking out is the New Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, published by Abingdon, another multi-volume one. But they've got great articles on all these different literary forms.
Wow, so many resources. A whole library dedicated to understanding the Bible.
It is. The more we learn about genre, the more we can appreciate the richness and diversity of the Bible, like uncovering hidden treasures.
I love that. It's not about dumbing down the Bible, but about unlocking its complexity in a way that deepens our understanding.
Exactly. That's why genre matters. It helps us avoid those misinterpretations, appreciate the artistry, and ultimately connect with the message on a whole other level.
So what does this all mean for our listeners? How can they apply this knowledge of genre to their own Bible reading?
If I could offer just one piece of advice, it would be this. Approach the text with curiosity and humility. Don't assume you know the genre just by looking at a chapter heading.
Right. Take the time to observe. Look for those clues about structure and style.
Exactly. Ask yourself, is this a story, a poem, a letter, a prophetic vision? What are the rules of this genre? How does that change how I understand it?
Be a detective looking for those subtle hints that reveal what the author's trying to say.
Precisely. When we do that, we open ourselves to a much richer, more meaningful encounter with the Bible.
I'm already seeing familiar passages in a new light. It's like a whole world is opening up.
That's the magic of learning, expanding our horizons, seeing with fresh eyes. And in this case, it's about deepening our understanding of God's word.
This deep dive has been incredible. So insightful. But before we wrap up this part, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, what stands out to you from all these different genres? Anything that surprised you or really grabbed your attention?
Honestly, the thing that really hit me was that idea of genre violation. Like, imagine trying to read a love poem as if it was a history textbook. You'd end up with some pretty messed up ideas about history.
Huh. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it just shows how crucial it is to respect the genre. Trying to force a text into a genre it doesn't belong to is like, well, it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
And Dr. Bauer used the example of reading Revelation chronologically, right? That can lead to all sorts of wild theories about the end times that just fall apart when you consider the genre.
Exactly. Apocalyptic literature isn't about giving us a timeline. It's about using symbols and imagery to communicate a much deeper message.
So if we go in expecting like a step-by-step guide to the future, we're going to miss the point, right?
You got it. It'd be like trying to decipher a code without the key. The genre. That's the key to unlocking what the author intended.
This is seriously making me rethink how I've approached certain parts of the Bible. It's like I've got a new pair of glasses on.
That's what's so exciting about it. It's not about limiting our understanding. It's about expanding it. When we get the genre, we can appreciate the text on a whole new level.
So are there other examples of this genre violation thing besides Revelation? I'm curious to see how this plays out in different parts of the Bible.
Well, think about the Song of Solomon. It's this beautiful collection of poetry full of vivid imagery, metaphors about love and desire. But if you try to read it as a literal historical romance, you miss the point entirely.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. It's like taking a metaphor and saying, no, I think they really meant this literally. It's supposed to make you feel something, not give you a news report.
Exactly. The Song of Solomon is all about celebrating the beauty and intimacy of love. And it uses the language of poetry to express those deep emotions.
That's a really good example.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see how this genre lens can totally change how we read and understand the Bible. It's not just what the words say, it's how they say it and what kind of conversation the author is trying to have with us.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's about being sensitive to those nuances of the text and letting the genre be our guide.
So how do we get better at recognizing and applying these different genres? Any practical tips you can share?
Well, Dr. Bauer emphasizes observation, really observing. Don't just skim, slow down, and pay attention to the details.
So be a detective, right? Look for clues. But what kind of clues?
Look for things like words or phrases that keep popping up, the overall structure of the passage, how imagery and symbolism are used. Ask yourself, what's the tone here? Formal, informal, celebratory, somber? Is it trying to teach, tell a story, express an emotion?
Those are good questions. It's about really engaging with the text,
yeah,
not just passively reading.
Exactly. And as you do that, you'll start developing the sense for the different genres, how they work within the Bible.
It's like learning a new language, the language of genre. Dr. Bauer mentioned those Bible dictionaries as resources. Are there any you'd recommend for someone just starting out with all this?
He mentioned the Eerdmans Dictionary of the Bible. It's a single volume, so it's a bit easier to handle than some of those multi-volume sets. And it has really clear explanations of the different genres with examples from the Bible.
Sounds like a good place to start. Okay, so we've got observation, we've got resources. Any other tips for our listeners who want to become genre detectives?
Don't be afraid to ask questions. If you're not sure about the genre of a passage, check a commentary, talk to a pastor, a teacher. It's okay to ask for help.
That's a great reminder. It's a journey, and we don't have to do it alone. Okay, observation, resources, questions, anything else?
One more thing. Remember that context is king. Genre is just one piece of the puzzle. We also need to consider the historical context, the culture, and the author's overall message.
So it's like putting all the pieces together to get the full picture.
Exactly. Genre gives us a framework, but we need all those other pieces to arrive at a faithful and meaningful interpretation.
This has been so helpful. I feel like I'm starting to see the Bible in a whole new way.
That's what we hope for. It's not just about knowledge. It's about transforming how we read and understand God's word.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. What does this all mean for our listener? How can they take this knowledge of genre and use it in their own Bible reading?
If I could give just one piece of advice, it'd be this. Approach the text with an open mind and a willingness to be challenged.
So don't just assume we know what a passage means based on what we already think.
Exactly. Let the genre be your guide. Let the text speak for itself and be ready to be surprised.
I love that. Approach the Bible with wonder and curiosity.
That's it. When we do that, the Bible comes alive in a way that it never could if we just stay on the surface.
This deep dive has been so insightful. I'm already looking at those familiar passages with fresh eyes. It's like a whole new world of understanding is opening up.
Yeah.
But before we wrap things up, I have one more question for you. Dr. Bauer mentioned those different levels of observation, right? We focused on the survey of parts and wholes, but he also talked about book survey and detailed analysis. Are those just more advanced techniques, or can anyone use them?
Those are great questions to tackle in our last part. But before we jump into that, what are your thoughts on everything we've covered so far?
My mind is definitely buzzing. Like this whole genre lens thing, it sharpened my focus. I'm seeing connections, layers I never even noticed before.
That's exactly it. It's not just about memorizing facts and figures. It's about developing that mindset, that way of approaching the text that unlocks so much more.
You mentioned those other levels of observation that Dr. Bauer talks about, are those something that anyone can use, or is it more for like serious Bible scholars?
Oh, anyone can benefit from them. Think of it like exploring a brand new city, book survey. That's like getting that bird's eye view, seeing those major landmarks, how everything's laid out, then detailed analysis. That's like strolling through a specific neighborhood, really noticing the architecture, those little details that give it its unique character.
So even if I'm not like a scholar or anything. I can use these techniques to get more out of my own personal Bible reading.
Absolutely. Imagine you're reading the Psalms. A book survey would help you grasp the overall themes, things like praise, lament, wisdom. But then when you zero in on a specific psalm with detailed analysis, you're really savoring those word choices, the imagery, the way the emotion builds in that individual poem.
That's a great analogy. It's like going from admiring a beautiful landscape to noticing those individual wildflowers that make it so vibrant and alive.
Exactly. Each level just adds another layer of understanding and appreciation. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Just asking simple questions like, what's the main point of this passage? Or how does this verse fit in with what comes before and after? Can make a world of difference.
So it's not about trying to become a scholar overnight.
Yeah.
It's more about cultivating that sense of curiosity, that attentiveness.
You got it. It's about slowing down, really engaging with the text, and truly listening to what it's saying.
You know, it's funny. We talk about listening to God all the time, but this whole deep dive is making me realize I haven't always been the best listener when it comes to His Word.
I think a lot of us can relate to that. We can get so caught up in our own interpretations or assumptions that we miss what the text is actually trying to tell us.
But this whole idea of genre, it's like God's giving us these tools to help us understand Him better. It's like He's saying, here's a map, here's a compass, now let's explore this together.
What a beautiful way to put it. And the more we learn about genre, the more we see how thoughtfully and intentionally God communicated with us through His Word.
I'm honestly seeing familiar passages in a whole new light now. Like the parables of Jesus. I used to get so stuck trying to figure out every little detail. But now I see how it's about getting that core message, that heart of the story.
And that's where the real power is. Not in dissecting every little thing, but in letting the text speak to our hearts, letting it transform us.
This deep dive has seriously been a game changer for me. I feel so much more equipped now to approach the Bible with confidence and understanding.
That's what we were hoping for. It's not about becoming experts overnight. It's about taking those first steps on a journey of learning and discovery that lasts a lifetime.
And remember, listeners, this is just the beginning of your own deep dive into biblical genre. Don't be afraid to get curious, to ask those questions, to explore those different levels of observation we've talked about.
The exciting thing is, every time you open up a passage, you can ask yourself, okay, what's the genre here? How does that change how I read this? What new insights am I going to gain?
It was like having that key to unlock deeper meaning, to truly appreciate how rich the text really is.
You got it. And as you get more comfortable with different genres, you'll start seeing them everywhere, not just in the Bible, but in books, movies, even everyday conversations.
So we're not just becoming better Bible readers. We're becoming more perceptive, more aware of the world around us.
Exactly. It's about building that critical thinking muscle, that ability to discern what the real message is, to avoid being misled.
This has been an absolutely amazing deep dive. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
The pleasure was all mine. And to all our listeners out there, happy exploring. May your journey through the Bible be filled with wonder and new discoveries.
And until next time, keep diving deep.